This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, it just is a great song. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
It's a fantastic song by Toto. It's one of their finest offerings.
You know, people think Toto's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Not true. They have like at least three sillies.
Well.
At least three.
But everyone does think about one.
Do you know that the guys...
Africa.
I mean, that. How much money do you think they've made off that, just that song? I mean, well, many, many millions.
I have a nugget for you. So, when this album came out, I don't know, whatever, you look it up.
Yeah, early 80s.
Right? 80, 81.
The guys in Toto, I know Ryan Wilson's on hold. I'm gonna learn him something. The guys in Toto were actually, like, producers... for Michael Jackson's, I think it was his Thriller album.
It's a good one to be
a producer
on.
So, like,
on.
If you look up some of those songs, I don't want to be wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong, but like Human Nature, or like they put out like three or four sillies that they wrote or produced for, and then they came out with their own side project, Toto.
Very nice.
Which blew up.
Sweet.
There's a nugget for you.
Very good. All right, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to our friend Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. He's an NFL writer. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. You know, usually at this point in the NFL season, I'm perusing, you know, being here in D.C., I'm perusing a lot of mock drafts for the next season because usually there's no hope of playoffs or a contending team. My consumption of mock drafts for 2025 has been very light because the Commanders are out to a very surprising 6-2 start. What is your take on the Commanders thus far? Did you see any of this coming with Jaden Daniels? Because he's been a superstar.
You know, I don't like to brag, but I think you guys probably owe me a debt of gratitude. And I say that because my podcast co-host Rick Spielman was hired by the owner there to bring on the general manager.
Yeah. And
Rick doesn't like to talk about it, but I'll talk about it since he's not here.
Okay.
And obviously he loved Adam Peters, and obviously Adam Peters could not have been a better fit because everything that's happened since then appears to be the exact right move from the head coach. And I don't know how you guys felt about it at the time, but I know that some fans weren't super pumped about the idea of Dan Quinn because he wasn't a new, fresh name as a head coach, but he's been the exact right guy, and obviously Jaden Daniels, the second overall pick, and then all the draft picks. I love the draft class when it happened. I feel great about it now. Some of the guys obviously are standing out outside of the quarterback, and I have a lot of friends. I lived in D.C. for a while, so I have a lot of friends in D.C., and what happened on Sunday, and I'm old enough to remember when Joe Gibbs and Joe Theismann and all those guys were winning Super Bowls. It felt a lot like that in the middle of the season.
I agree.
I'm sure a lot of young Commanders fans have no idea what those old days used to be like. And it was. You talk about Toto and Africa, Africa and all that other stuff. This felt like going back in the Wayback Machine in terms of the way social media was, at least, seeing all these celebrations around D.C.
It's what I keep telling people, because people want to talk about it on the street more than ever. And especially people like, honestly, like 35, like, you know what I mean? 30. It's not like they're 17, like people like 35, 34, 32, like this is how it used to be. It used to feel like this in the 80s, you know,
early 90s.
Yeah, it used to feel like this all the time.
It's been so long.
The last 30 years, it's just like crept up on us. But those of us that are of our generation, okay, you had the 70s where we were mediocre and the dead skins and all that. But the 80s, it was like us and the Niners. Like, we were beasts.
I mean, when's the last time you saw that stadium go that nuts after a win?
Well, I'm not sure this stadium has ever gone
seen
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Hey, Ryan, let me ask you this. Have you talked to anybody in Chicago? Where are you based? I'm sorry.
I have. I live in upstate New York.
Okay.
I grew up in North Carolina.
Right. Have you talked to anybody in the media about what happened at the end of the last two plays?
Well, yeah, both in the media and fans, and sometimes that person is one of the same. And the concern has been the concern that it's always been, that what is the coaching staff doing? It starts with Matt Eberflus. They weren't convinced that Matt should have been retained. And it was sort of steady as she goes through the first half of the season with the way Caleb was coming along, and there were questions about the play calling with the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. Things seemed to have gotten better, and then I think we saw an abrupt turn when the way the game ended and the way that Matt Eberflus explained why the game ended the way it did. Now, Tyreek Stevenson stuff aside, that's one thing, but in terms of Eberflus not necessarily thinking that there was much he could have done differently, and then you hear Dan Quinn talk about how important it is to defend the Hail Mary and your approach to doing so. I think that if it's not the last straw, we're getting close, because this is a perfect example of how you handle a young quarterback in two completely different ways. One, where you're having sort of the Houston Texans one-year turnaround success with a new coach and a new GM and a new quarterback, and the other in Chicago, where it's status quo, except for you got the number one overall pick, and you got what many people, myself included, thought was the best player in the draft. And what are we doing? So we'll see how this goes. But it's a stark contrast and when you view it in the lens of doing things exactly the right way, getting everything right, and then trying to piecemeal some things together with a couple better players, but you're not really making many changes at the top of the org chart there.
Now, I'm obviously biased, but I'd be curious to know, if you had to redraft right now and do your little fan, would you still have Caleb as the number one guy in the draft? Not to say he's been bad, because he's certainly got a lot of talent.
No, of course not. If you did that, you should be working for the Jets, and then you should immediately be fired. Now you have to take Jaden Daniels. I mean, let's be real. Caleb has actually been relatively good, but this isn't Bryce Young versus CJ. CJ was outstanding last year, but Jaden's actually playing better through 8-9 weeks than CJ did last year. That's how good he's been, and wow. And what he was able to do last Sunday with a rib injury, because I went back and watched all the throws yesterday, and I'm like, dude, please get out of bounds, please slide. But he's playing like he's 100% healthy in terms of the way he's running around.
Right.
Forget the throws, the 61-yarder down the field, and then, of course, the Hail Mary, which was just all sorts of special.
Right. Ryan, let's talk about another young quarterback. If you were advising Shane Steichen, if you were in the inner circle, are you going to tell him to start Anthony Richardson this weekend against the Vikings, or are you going to have him turn to Joe Flacco? I know my answer. I want to hear your answer.
Well, the follow-up is, are we trying to win now, or do we want to see what we have? Because it feels like the clock on these young quarterbacks has been accelerated, right?
Big time. Where we
guys used to get 3 years, whatever. I mean, Kenny Pickett got kicked out off the team over the summer after 2 years. Will Levis's hold on the job feels pretty tenuous right now. I know he's quote-unquote injured, but we might see Anthony Richardson come out with a similar sort of quote-unquote injury, because he has been at times special and most of the time hard to watch. And this is the cautionary tale of drafting guys who've played 13 games in college football.
Totally.
Who are incredibly and special talents. There's no doubt about it, but you got to be able to put it together and have these building blocks. Not saying it has to be a linear progression where you're better each week no matter what, but man, there have been some pretty big potholes that he's run into in terms of bumps in the road, and it's you just don't know. And I think the other story is, look, we take you top 10. If you stink 17, 18 games into this thing, we got to make some tough decisions. I would start Joe Flacco and let him take a mental break, but there's a reason Bryce Young ain't going to play again in Carolina. I mean, he's playing because Andy Dalton's hurt, but in terms of his future there, it's going to be a short-term situation. I think Anthony Richardson has a chance to be good, but you have to be able to do the little things. We just haven't seen the little things, the silly mistakes that good players can avoid, and we have yet to see Jaden Daniels suffer from. Even Caleb's done most of the things you want him to, but I would give him a break. I don't think it's going to affect him above the neck, and Joe Flacco has proven that he can literally get off the couch and take your team to the playoffs. He did a year ago with the Cleveland Browns.
Talk about what you're seeing from the Lions, and specifically Jared Goff. No one really talks about Goff for MVP. They talk about Lamar and some of these other guys, and how some people are throwing Jaden Daniels' name in there. But Jared Goff, in the last 3 weeks, actually 4 weeks, has 13 incompletions total. And he's got 3, 5, 7, 8. He's got 10 touchdowns, no picks in the last 4 weeks. And they've scored 40 or more 3 out of the 4 times. I mean, what they're doing to teams, and pretty good teams, by the way, Minnesota, Dallas, and Seattle, they're just a machine. Talk about what you're seeing from them, specifically with Goff.
Yeah, a couple things. So, again, it points to the importance of ownership understanding how to get it right. And that started with the front office, Brad Holmes, with Dan Campbell. Brad Holmes had a relationship with Jared Goff when they were in L.A. together, brought him over. And most people, myself included, thought, all right, well, clearly the Rams are winning this trade with the Matthew Stafford situation. It's been a wash. And Stafford's special, and they won a Super Bowl. I get that. But this Lions team is one of the best teams in football because of Jared Goff and the offense. And brings us back to Ben Johnson, who I'm sure some Commanders fans were interested in as potentially being a head coach. But he's exactly where he needs to be because the things he's doing with that offense has been truly special. But I think the other lesson, and we just talked about benching young quarterbacks, Jared Goff is a perfect example of someone who needed time to grow into the job. And, yeah, I understand he was with Sean McVay for the first few years of his career and got to a Super Bowl. But it didn't all come together until the last few years here in Detroit. And I bring that up because clearly patience is hard to come by in the NFL where you must win now, and I get that part of it. But also because I see a lot of Jared Goff and Carson Beck, to sort of turn this back to college for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is this. Is Carson Beck ever going to get to be Detroit Jared Goff, or is he always going to be L.A. Rams Jared Goff if you're thinking about taking him in the first round? And the second half of that answer to that question is it depends on who you surround him with. Because Jared Goff's done a lot of this work by himself. I get that. But you put him on a Browns team, it probably doesn't look the same as what he has here because of the way this team is drafted and signed players and the centerpieces they have, whether it's Penei Sewell at tackle or whether it's Aiden Hutchinson when he's healthy or Kirby Joseph or Brian Branch, the way they're playing in the secondary. So I think it's been a group effort, and it certainly helps to have a franchise quarterback have it all come together, and that's what Jared Goff has been. Good luck trying to beat this team. If you have them down 14 points in the fourth quarter, that game is nowhere close to being over just because they are so explosive offensively.
All right, I'm going to throw a true-false to you that we kind of threw out to our show for the last segment. True or false? The Eagles win the NFC East.
I'm going to say false. Only they're playing really well right now, but only because I rarely do I get these things right preseason, but I picked the Commanders to win preseason. So ooh. I'm going to say false.
Wow.
Wow, okay. Look at that. You've been on the Commanders early.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot wrong, so I got to lean into the ones that I get right. But they're playing really well, and I think there's something to that, too. I was trying to figure out when it was all going to come together with the new OC. His name escapes me, but it was a Dallas from the Chargers before
Kellen
that.
Kellen Moore.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah. So when was that going to happen? And it appears to be working. And Vic Fangio's defense is playing a little better. And there were a lot of questions about Jalen Hurts. And what's going on with him as the OC carousel was going on the last few years? Did people want Nick Sirianni fired, so on and so forth? But they're playing a lot better. But in terms of, it'll be interesting once you get into the NFC East. But I'm going to stay with the Commanders for now because, like I said, rarely do I get something right so late in the season.
Talking to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer, you cover the draft 365 days a year. I saw your last column. You have two Colorado Buffaloes in your top five picks. What do you see in Shador? And you got Travis Hunter number one.
He's sick.
Yeah, he's special. It's incredible what this young man does each and every week, and he somehow seems to improve on it. The only issue is where do you play him at the next level? And the consensus, I talked to a couple of scouts before the year, and they were like, he's much better as a cornerback, and he can't play, you know, he's not playing 120 snaps a game in the NFL like he does now.
Right.
So what do you do there? Is there a better chance to get hurt as a receiver, anecdotally, than maybe as a, because you're getting hit as opposed to hitting? But I think the people come around to the idea of, well, you play him on defense, and then you have 15 or 20 snaps for him on offense, because there's no way you can leave that sort of productivity on the sidelines. And in a draft with not great quarterbacks, this isn't like last year's class, there's a real good chance, especially if the Patriots, for example, stay in the first pick, that the quarterback isn't going to go first overall. But his teammate Shador, for me, is my quarterback one now. And I say it with that sort of tone in my voice because it's close between him and Cam Ward, but also with the understanding that, again, there's no Caleb Williams, there's no Jaden Daniels coming out of nowhere to sort of make his case as QB1 or QB2. So if you're looking for a quarterback, it won't be as bad as the Kenny Pickett draft from a few years ago, but you're going to have to make sure there's an infrastructure in place for whether it's Shador or Cam Ward or Garrett Nussmeier is the name that's been mentioned, who I liked a lot, and this sort of had some issues in the second half on Saturday. But there's going to be depth at other positions for sure. Edge rusher, cornerback, running back's pretty deep. Ashton Jesse's a lot of fun out of Boise State if you're looking for Jahmyr Gibbs type player. But quarterback is going to be an interesting journey because there's going to be not going to be the guys to choose from that we had even a year ago.
The Jets are just atrocious. What do you see happening the rest of the way? And then do you see Aaron Rodgers back next year?
I said after they traded for Devontae Adams, I wasn't sure either one of them would be back after the year, no matter what happened. And I never had high expectations for this team because I didn't get why we would think they should be good. They signed a couple of older offensive tackles, and they've held up okay. But Aaron Rodgers looks nothing like the Aaron Rodgers we're accustomed to. And I think Devin Gottschall said it after the Patriots game, the defensive lineman. He said, yeah, that guy, I was running him down. He weighs 300 pounds. So if he's not what he once was, and their record is worse now than I think it was a year ago with Zach Wilson when he came in, what are we doing?
I never would have thought five straight losses, Ryan.
Yeah, so
especially with that defense,
and that's the thing, and that's a thing that I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers thought, okay, we just get a couple of my guys in here, we'll be fine. It hasn't worked, and I know people are coming down on Garrett Wilson for not being the precise route runner they want him to be, and obviously Devontae Adams isn't the same guy he was 5 or 6 years ago, and then the defense has struggled. Now they've had some injuries, but everyone's been injured, so that's not an excuse. But they haven't played nearly at the level they did a year ago. But it's one thing to lose to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. It's another thing to lose to the Patriots when Jacoby Brissett has to come off the bench, basically in a wheelchair, and he beats you last second drive there. I mean, there's no coming back from that. So you can argue about the owner being a meddling owner and things not working out, and that's fine. You can argue the quarterback is over the hill, and maybe that's fine too. But there's no short-term solution. You fired the guy, Robert Saleh, and things got worse. So what the fix is, I don't know, other than trying to start over. But again, they've consistently made bad decisions, so I don't know what starting over gets you.
They'll be drafting somebody at that position.
Yep, certainly will. Ryan, is always good catching up with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, that's Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL writer. Don't forget, later at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Brian Robinson from the Commanders. When we come back, we'll talk about the Commanders' defense. How did they get it turned around so quickly? They're 14th in yards allowed per game, 10th in scoring defense at points per game at 20.9. We'll discuss the turnaround for the Commanders' defense next here on The Fan.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in the next segment, around 8:40-ish, Jason has a harrowing story to share with the audience. So you need to stay tuned for that.
And specifically, I want everyone in Blacksburg, where we are on TV every single morning, to listen to it and pay attention to the story.
So that's not now. That's coming up at 8:40.
By the way, you said in Blacksburg, you're like a rock star when you walk around there. Like people.
I didn't say that. I said, I get recognized, yes.
Because we're on Monumental there in Blacksburg?
We're on Comcast Sports Network. That's the channel we're on.
It's not Monumental. How's that work?
So they're still living in the past.
It's on CSN.
Okay.
On their cable.
Why are you laughing at me? I don't understand the bit.
That's just the channel that carries us.
Why is it not called Monumental?
You know what? They're behind the times. Something tells me at Blacksburg, like they might be 5 or 10 years
behind. I don't even think Comcast Sportsman exists anymore.
That's what they still label it as.
So they just CSN. Haven't caught up. They haven't caught up with the relabeling and rebranding. System.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, it's an old cable
Clearly
system.
We're on Monumental, but down there they don't label it Monumental.
Okay. Right. But my niece who goes to Virginia Tech, she sent a picture one time. She was out with her girlfriends at, is it Blackie's? Is that one of the
Blackies?
Sharkies. I don't remember the name of it. I don't go there.
We're always on in the sports bar.
Sharkies is like the spot in Blacksburg.
Yeah. It's one of them.
Yeah. Or Tots.
Tots and Sharkies and Maroon Door and there's a bunch.
Got it. I think it's a school that my youngest should strongly consider. But I know.
I mean, I love the school.
Yeah.
I don't love the story I'm going to tell next segment, but I love the school.
Right, right.
All right, so that's coming up at 8:40-ish. So keep listening. And then we have B-Rob for that. Brian Robinson coming
up. He's going to be on every week.
It's coming up at 9. But we wanted to get into the Commanders' defense and the turnaround that's happening. I mean, they're 14th in yards allowed per game at this point, 10th in points per game allowed.
Mm-hmm.
After starting off the season looking like the defense hadn't really improved from last season when they were ranked 32nd in those two big categories.
Right.
And now they're 14th and 10th, 8 games into the season.
They're doing something right.
I can't just
as a fan, obviously we're not defensive coordinators, so we don't know what they're doing specifically each week. But just as a fan, a football fan to watch it, it seems like they're finding ways to get to the quarterback quicker. Secondary's playing really well. But they're, you know, guys are coming from all kinds of different directions. Joe Witt's dialing it up. And it seems like they're finding ways to get to the quarterback a little bit quicker than they did the first few weeks.
I think there's a couple things. I think also they're learning their personnel, right? And learning whatever strengths and weaknesses. I mean, hell, we saw it in real life. What happened with Jamin? Like, not that he was big in their plans, but he was sort of a big emphasis in the preseason. See, maybe he can be our Micah Parsons, maybe. And it didn't work out. Luvu, they knew that Luvu was good, but Luvu kind of filled that role. They've kind of unleashed him even more so. Manny Forbes, he played 6 snaps yesterday. And they've kind of elevated other guys. Igbinanabe, is that how you say his name? I'm trying my best. Mm-hmm.
Igbinane, I think.
Igbinane.
That's close.
Yeah. He's played decently. Sanders still, they've kind of moved around a little bit. He's played a little bit better as we gotten along, you know? Mm-hmm. And, Johnny Newton,
mm-hmm.
he was the highest ranked defensive player yesterday. Well, I mean, his number was off the chart. How often do you see a defensive player on PFF? And listen, we've talked about it many times. PFF rankings, you love them or hate them. I know they're offensive linemen. We had somebody on, and I can't remember who it was, and he said that the guy's coach was Baldy. Baldy said, these guys say, how did they have me rated so low? I thought I had a great mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. So who knows how the ratings are put together, but Johnny Newton had an 87.5 on PFF yesterday. Highest rated defensive players.
He popped for Dan Quinn, too. Dan Quinn's quote about Johnny Newton, he's the one who really jumped out to me. Mm-hmm. So, and look, Adam Peters knew that Johnny Newton was a bargain in the draft. He was just dealing with an injury. He knew he was like a game wrecker type at Illinois. And look, he knew that they're pouring a lot of money into Jonathan Allen to Daron Payne. Mm-hmm. And Allen was kind of toward the end of his time here in Washington, deal-wise at least. So that's looking like a really smart pick by Adam Peters.
I'm still a little skeptical. I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders are 6-2. Just tell me if the defense played well, and I think it's really dependent on quarterback. Would you give the defense, did they play well against Tampa and Baker?
They did not. That was the opening game of the season.
I thought they had moments. They pressured him. He wiggled his way out of it like a magician. Now he's having a great year.
They couldn't close on him.
Yeah. They couldn't close on him, but I thought they did get some pressure.
They gave up 37 points. Yeah. I think that would be a no.
Well, there is a caveat to that.
You played a good quarterback. Good quarterback. They scored 37. Next week you play the Giants, bad quarterback.
You gotta take
only allow 18 points.
Yeah.
Then you face the Bengals, good quarterback and Joe Burrow. They put up 33 points. You face Kyler Murray. Okay. Kyler Murray, I'm on the fence of whether he's a good quarterback or not. He's having actually a better season.
He's looked good the last couple
weeks. So that
was
a good performance. I will give them that one on Kyler and the Cardinals. You face the Browns, horrendous quarterback situation at the time with Sean Watson. Face the Ravens, good quarterback, put up 30 points against you. The last 2 weeks you faced Bryce Young and a rookie in Caleb Williams.
But a rookie in Caleb Williams.
They didn't face Bryce Young.
Everybody heading into the game is like, look at what Caleb Williams has done these last 2 weeks against the Jags and the Panthers. He's improving.
They faced Dalton. Now the team sucked, but Dalton, right. Bryce Young played the last.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this.
Dalton, last series.
That's kind of what good quarterbacks do, though. So no one's saying it's a special defense.
Yeah.
But I think pretty much every team in the NFL – does worse against good quarterbacks.
Look, I think they're better. Yeah. I just don't want to get carried away with the defense. One of the things I heard, and it might have been, I don't remember who was talking about it, but it was talking about how teams that come back year after year, they know each other, right? And that you're seeing week by week, Luvu and Wagner playing off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helping the defense. Like some
again,
things you talked about,
each other.
But that they're just knowing their roles. And these are, you know, the leaders of the defense, really. And
listen,
probably the best defensive player on this team is Frankie Louvu. Wagner, a guy who's just racking up all the tackles and everything. So I do think the better offenses and the better defenses can expose their weaknesses. Their weaknesses haven't gone away. They don't have good cover corners. They don't have elite pass rushing. So I do think the better quarterbacks with the better offenses will expose them.
I just think that they're playing better as a unit.
Yes.
They don't have elite players, but as a unit, in a system, they're playing better.
They're definitely playing better.
Yeah, they are.
There's no question. And are they playing better against the worst teams? Yes, that's what you're supposed to do.
Caleb had.
I think that's skewing the stats.
Caleb had three completions in the first half.
Right. They held him at 36 yards passing into the third quarter.
Now, a lot of those times, Caleb just looked lost, and they looked like there were guys open, and he just missed them, and he wanted to bounce out of the pocket. But they obviously did a pretty good job in coverage where he couldn't find anybody.
I talked about that yesterday. Like when they would show, for lack of a better term, the all 22, and you would see what Caleb was looking at, it looked like most of the guys were covered. There was one time when he had somebody underneath.
He had Moore open a couple times, and he looked right, and Moore was open on the left. But that's a young quarterback. But they made him look lost for the first half.
Hey, you can say there's bad quarterbacks, bad opponents, but they're limiting teams to under 21 points per game. Last year, they were dead effing last in the league. Dead last.
Yeah.
30.5 points per game.
They're doing a good job.
I mean, a 10-point improvement, you can call it bad quarterbacks, but they're doing something right.
What also helps is the offense isn't turning over a bunch.
Right. They're converting third downs. They're staying on the field longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're
longer
running
fields,
the ball.
Running the ball. Right. Longer fields versus short fields.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Howell last year for part of the season was taking care of the ball, and then all of a sudden he became a guy who was throwing a bunch of picks. Well, that puts your defense in bad spots.
Mm-hmm.
Chayton's got two picks. Half the season's over. He's got two picks. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when
that helps your defense a lot.
That's what happens when you draft a superstar.
Oh, and
when you hit at number two.
When you compare to last year, a couple other things. Eric Bieniemy threw the ball all the time, didn't run the football. I don't have the time possession numbers in front of me, but you're helping out the defense because of your offense.
You need to give me a trigger warning if you're going to say Bieniemy.
You need a safe word.
I need a trigger warning because I just want to go on a 10-minute rant about how he was
just
a fraud.
Drives you crazy,
and he was terrible.
Yeah,
and he ruined Hal, and he just I need trigger warning.
We'll try to give you advance warning
in the future.
Next time we use the B word.
All right. Are we supposed to take calls on this?
We might have time for one, but we got to come back, got to break, and get to Jason's story.
I know. You want to tune in for it? It's a terrible story, but I mean, I guess a good outcome. I don't know. I don't want to give away too much.
All right, so we'll keep the callers on hold for now. Going to take a break. We're going to get into Jason's harrowing tale that happened over the weekend. You don't want to go anywhere. And don't forget Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. He's scheduled to join us coming up at 9 a.m. Don't forget Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. He will join us in under 20 minutes. It's coming up at 9 a.m. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Keep listening.
All right. So just to clarify the monumental CSN thing down in Blacksburg, if you're in a sports bar and they've got DirecTV, and most of the bars do have DirecTV, mm-hmm. then obviously you have monumental on the guide.
Right.
Because DirecTV is up to date. In the hotels, when you're flipping through the channels, it still says CSN.
Gotcha.
Even though it's monumental. Just want to clarify.
There you have it.
So anyway, so I got a call from my daughter on Saturday morning. And as you most of you know, my daughter's a senior at Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg. And this is what happened. I don't know what you guys said yesterday, why
nothing.
I was out.
Said nothing.
Nope.
Okay. So on late Friday night, early Saturday morning at 2:30 in the morning, my daughter she's sleeping, and she's got three roommates. Two of them were not in the apartment, and they live in this place called RSA, which is Roanoke Street Apartments. And they're older, you know, kind of beat down buildings that are not really updated. The appliances suck. I mean, the carpets suck. They're just old, but mm-hmm. they're cheaper.
Stuff.
They're cheaper than some of the newer places mm-hmm. that are nice. But a lot of seniors want to live there because it's really close to downtown. It's down close to Main Street. So my daughter's been there for 2 years. But Saturday morning, 2:30, my daughter's sleeping and she hears her phone. She answers the phone. Her roommate, Tara, whose room is right next to hers, says, "Are you hearing this, that beat, that beating, that banging?" She said, "No, I haven't heard it." And then she gets up out of her bed and she starts to hear it even more. All right. So this is what happened. Someone kicked down the door of their apartment.
Ooh.
So my daughter's roommate, Tara, had her door locked. They both locked their bedroom doors.
Mm-hmm.
They hear someone in the hallway trying to get into the doors. They can't get into Tara's room because she has it locked. My daughter, I told her, "I don't know why you did this. You should have just called the cops immediately." My daughter opened the door because she wanted to see what was going on, who was in there.
What's the commotion?
Normal reaction.
It's pitch black in the apartment. Mm-hmm. The man who was in the hallway sees that and tries to bang into my daughter's room and tries to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
She's able to fight him off that way. And she's
from behind the door. She's
inside
pushing
her,
the door. Basically,
she's in her bedroom, mm-hmm. and he's in the hallway trying to push into the door. And she's fighting it because he's trying to get into the room, and she's threatening to call the cops. Yada yada yada. Finally, she's able to close the door and lock it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls the cops immediately. So after about 30 seconds. Yeah, he's screaming, "Let me in." I think he's screaming, "I got to get in there, let me in." I don't know exactly. She was freaked out, so she doesn't know exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
And she couldn't give a description to the cops because it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
So the cops come, like five cops come. And this is where I was all day yesterday. I went down on Sunday morning and stayed the night just to be with her. I talked to the lead investigator. I talked to the rental office manager. There's no description of him because it was dark and he left. He kicked the door in. They called a maintenance person at 2:30 in the morning, 3 in the morning. So the maintenance guy was on call. He came in, fixed the door, and the door is basically destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was freaking out. She was crying. The cops come. She gives her story. But the problem is there's no description because there's no cameras or security cameras at this apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other newer complexes all have security cameras on the entryway of the buildings. There's 8 buildings at RSA. None of them have security cameras. This has happened a few times over the last few years. My oldest daughter also lived there. Never happened with her, but she had friends that this happened. The cops think that this was just a college kid, a drunk college kid, trying to get into what he thought was his apartment.
Okay.
Which is fair.
Right.
That could have happened. But what if it wasn't?
Yeah. True.
But my point to the rental office manager, and I'm speaking to the cop, is even if it was a drunk college kid, he could have done something to her.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Something really bad could have happened.
I mean, girls get raped all the time on college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because we are seen in Blacksburg and were heard in Blacksburg. RSA, the owners of this, there's 4 owners of RSA, Roanoke Street Apartments. They need to put security cameras on each building.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine it's going to cost that much because this can't go unpunished. So this kid or man has to be caught.
Yep.
Now, obviously, he's done. He's not going to get caught for this unless he does it again somewhere else. But I wanted to tell the story because if you have a student down there, especially a girl, and they're thinking about staying in RSA next year, or you know, and if you have a freshman, they're thinking about moving in to one of these apartment complexes, do yourself a favor and make sure that they have installed security cameras.
Yeah.
Because if they haven't, don't stay there. Now, it's cheaper than some of these other spots, but it's not worth it. And I'm going to hopefully talk to the owners of the complex and ask them, why aren't you putting cameras? I mean, it's just a safety issue. And
how's your daughter handling it? Like, that's a traumatic incident.
She wasn't good.
She backed to class and everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she wasn't good. She was happy I was there. once she talked to the cops, told her story, and I got down there, she was fine. She wasn't good for about the first few hours that I was hanging out with her, but she's fine now. She's back to class. She's good. She's got one more semester there. But I can't imagine what she was going through on Saturday morning at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning when someone's busting into her door.
No, I can't imagine
terrifying.
Either. When you said that you want them to get cameras or whatever, what was their excuse? What did they say? Like, did they say, nah, it's too expensive? Or
well, I haven't actually talked to the owners of RSA. I just talked to the rental office manager, and she says, yes, we've had these requests many times, and for whatever reason, the owners don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a cost-cutting thing? I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine.
Must be.
I can't imagine that it costs that much to put eight cameras.
I don't know how much that costs.
No, but those slumlords... I'm sorry, I don't know them.
Oh.
That's the whole point. They don't spend money.
I agree, but they need to.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it before. I really didn't. I just told my daughter and her roommates, just make sure your doors are locked.
Mm-hmm.
But this idiot kicked the door down. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, what if he had a gun or a knife or
right.
what? Maybe he did. I don't even know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Hey, is RSA considered on campus or off campus?
It's considered off campus.
Okay.
Yep.
Because you could, if it was considered on campus, you could make a plea to the school.
Oh, yeah.
Have
yeah.
some sort of.
No, it's independently owned place. There's four owners of this complex.
Well,
like
I mean,
I said, there's
word is going to spread about this incident. And then if they don't put cameras in, I would think people are going to look at this like, okay, you're not spending the money that's required to keep this place safe. Why would I pay for my kid to live here going forward?
Yeah. And I wouldn't.
Right.
Because there's a place called The Edge. There's a place called The Hub. Mm-hmm. There's a place called The Retreat. All right. These are newer spots that I guarantee you they got security cameras.
Right. Right.
If they don't, they certainly should install them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was scary as hell, especially since I'm 3.5 hours away. And I couldn't believe she didn't call me in the middle of the night on Saturday. She waited until she got up at, 10 o'clock in the morning to tell me and my wife the story. So I said, you know what? I got to get down there because I need to talk to people. But I just can't imagine what was going through her mind when someone's trying to bust into her bedroom door. She has no idea who it is. If it was just some idiot college kid, I could see maybe he just would fall asleep on the couch. That's why I'm not sure it was.
Mm-hmm. No, you have no idea. It could be anything.
Yep.
But I do know that drunk college kids do stuff like that.
They
but
do.
That doesn't mean it's okay. It's obviously not okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This kid has to
he needs to be arrested.
He needs to be punished.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
hopefully
he needs to be penalized.
Somehow they're going to catch him.
They're not going to catch
him. I don't know how.
They're not.
If they don't have an ID or any sort of,
Because it's,
like,
it's not like they're going to put cameras in, tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, but can't, don't they always get caught with, like, Ring doorbells next door?
There's no ring.
There's nothing.
On her floor, there's nobody who's got... Now, we ordered a ring. So the ring will be there on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them have ring doorbells.
No, but I mean, like, across the street or, like, at the 7-Eleven.
Like a traffic cam.
Yeah, traffic cam. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like... You could see people coming and going and maybe kind of closing.
It's
kind of
hard to explain if you haven't been there. But in this specific complex, there aren't spots like
it's
that.
It's just kind of isolated
There's an elementary school across the street. All right, and there's probably cameras there.
Mm-hmm. I would think,
but he clearly didn't, run to the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Either he ran to another building or he just ran to the street. Not like there's cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to the cops about that. They said, you know what, if there's not a camera right there at the building, we're not going to find it.
Right.
That's terrible.
So I just wanted to. That's why I wasn't here yesterday because I was down in Blacksburg.
I thought you weren't here because you were sad the Commanders won.
I was happy they won. I put a bunch of money on FanDuel.
Mm. Are you going to bet on them this week?
Oh, yeah.
They're playing the Giants. I mean, you saw how bad the Giants looked last night.
Last time you did this bit, you had pasta sauce all over your friggin' head.
I've officially gotten out of the business of dumb one-way bets.
Right.
I only now bet for financial duress. Right, lose money out of my pocket. That's much more palatable than getting a vat of marinara dumped on my head.
Yeah, I mean, I was like I said, I was live betting on FanDuel the Commanders for most of the game.
Right.
Now I was only putting $3, $4, $7 on it, but at the very end, I put $65 to win $10.
Yeah.
When they were up 12-7, and they
you did
after
why'd you do that
after the dumb who's their Waldron? Is that their
Shane
OC?
Shane Waldron.
Yeah, yeah. After the offensive lineman. Yeah.
After his dumbass.
He's actually a dumb person.
Called the on the goal line, gave the ball to a backup guard.
Right.
Why did and you? Didn't you see? I was actually pissed.
Yeah.
There's one time I was pissed. Maybe a couple times. But the players were all celebrating like they won the game. There were 6 minutes left. Yeah. I was actually going nuts. I was like, guys, you got to get stops. If you don't get stops, we're still gonna lose this game.
I don't know. I just felt like I was confident they were gonna close it out after they got the fumble recovery.
And they didn't. They went three and out.
They were down. Yeah.
All right. You want to go to Bob real quick at Charlottesville? He says he had same issue at Virginia Tech. And listen, I don't want to slander Virginia. I don't think it's a Virginia Tech thing. I think this kind of stuff happens.
No, it happens. I'm sure it happens at every college town.
It's life. Yeah. Yeah. Bob, what's up?
Hey man, no, it's not Virginia Tech. It's these apartment complex owners. They don't do anything. My daughter's place, until I put ring in and caught two guys going in, she had a first floor apartment, and the girls, because it was key locked, they leave, they forget to lock the door, they're drunk, they forget their keys, and so it's the apartment complex. But until I put ring in and caught them on camera, they wouldn't. The door lock was horrible. I mean, they wouldn't fix anything until I caught their own guy sneaking in. Again, this is Chase without approval, and I caught him on film. And then they went in and they fixed all the locks. They put locks on the girls' doors. They don't do anything until something like this happens.
Right.
But like you got to stay on it because it's horrible what these guys will get away with.
That's why I wanted to bring it up on the air because people in Blacksburg can hear the story. And they need to do something. These owners, I mean, they need to put security cameras for all
the same way. They wouldn't do anything until I caught them.
Yep.
And then they move, and it's just ridiculous. Anyway, thanks.
All right, thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
The good thing is, the police officer that I talked to, who was the lead investigator in all this deal, he said he's going to go to the rental office and talk to them, and give them the police report. And say this is what we recommend. It's not by law you can't force them to do it,
right?
But this is what we recommend.
I'm going to read this. My buddy, I'm not going to say names. His kids go there. We've got one left. He says his daughter lives right next door at the Chase. She didn't hear about this case, but she's heard that it's happened several times this year.
Yeah, several times. It does. It happens a lot, and it can't go unpunished.
Right.
It really can't.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we will be joined by Brian Robinson, running back for your Washington Commanders. He's next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.